Okay, so that said, let us go ahead, and we are holding bottom line lamed zayin amud beis. Let's see how much we can cover today. Bottom line, bo mi name Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, shochach keder al gabei kira ubishlo b'shabbos. What happens if a person? We just explained that it is prohibited to leave an uncooked pot on the fire, and that is violating the din of shehiya. What is the din? Is one allowed? What happens if one did it by mistake? He left a pot of food cooking on his stove, and it cooked on Shabbos. So bishlo b'Shabbos. Mahu? What is the din? Is he allowed to? Is he allowed to go ahead and eat that food? He violated the rules. Now can he eat that rules? So ishtik, he was quiet. V'loy amar le v'loy midi. He did not respond at all. Lembachar, the next day, we're holding two lines down. Lamechesem et Aleph. Nofak, he went out. And darish lehu, he darish in the middle of the street. In shul. Hamavashel b'Shabbos. If somebody cooks on Shabbos, he actually puts the pot of fire on Shabbos. He plugs the crock pot in and he forgets that it's Shabbos. B'shoigeg, if it was b'shoigeg, then yo'echel. He's able to eat the food. B'mezer, if he did it on purpose, lo yo'echel. We do not let him eat the food. V'loy shana, but with regards to your question, if somebody left the food on fire, there's no difference. V'loy shana, there's no difference between shoigeg and mezer. They both have the same din. And he got off the podium and everybody clapped. And then there was a murmuring. What do you mean there's no difference? Do you mean that they're both mutter or they're both usser? And of course, everybody had different views and it blew up into a fight. My v'loishna, says the Gemara. Rabba of Yosef, the Amr Tavayu lehetera. No matter if whether you left it on b'shoigeg, whether you left it on b'mezid, it's mutter b'diyevet. Because mevashel hu deka oved ma'isa, mevashel, if you put the food on Shabbos, you plug the crock button on Shabbos, where you did a ma'isa, there we're going to punish you, and if you did it on purpose, we're not going to allow you to eat the food. Aval hai, but this guy, deloy ka oved ma'isa, he didn't do an act of violating Shabbos, b'mezid na me'yachal, b'mezid will allow him to eat it as well. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar le'isura. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, no, it's regard to the Isur of, both of them were Usur. When he said that with regards to leaving it on the fire, there's no difference between Shoigeg and Mezid, he meant there's no difference and it's both Usur, even if you did it b'Shoigeg. Why? Because Mevashel, who deloy Usur l'erume, Mevashel, by putting it on the fire, plugging the crock button on Shabbos, where you're violating an Isur D'oraisa and people are going to... A person is not going to go ahead and do it b'mezid and then say, oh, it was a shoigeg, if anybody asks him. A person is scared of Maisa Shabbos. He's a firm yid. He doesn't want to be mevashel. He doesn't want to be cook on Shabbos. Sometimes mistakes happen. So if he does it on purpose, we're going to be strict with him. If he does it by mistake, we'll say, no, you can go ahead and eat the food. But... So therefore, b'shoigeg yoichal. If you did by mistake, we'll let you eat the food. Because we're not concerned that you're going to do it on purpose and tell us, oh, it was a mistake. Nobody's in their right mind is going to go ahead and we're not concerned for that. If you're going to do it, then whatever, you're going to do it. So, however, aval hai, this case, where you're not really doing anything on Shabbos anyways, you're just leaving it on before Shabbos. Hi, the Asila Erume, where it's very possible that a person will be very lenient with himself and he will say, no. I'll go ahead and I'll leave it on. And if anybody asks me, I will say that it was a mistake. And therefore, he'll allow himself to eat it. So he'll come to try to fool us. But therefore, b'shoigeg nami lo yoichal. B'shoigeg also, he's not going to allow himself to eat. B'shoigeg, yeah.
The art scroll keeps on translating all through this whole discussion that this is where the kira is unbanked. You haven't shoveled it out.
Correct.
Ready to cook.
Correct. Oh, it's not ready to... It's not ready to... What do you mean by ready to cook? The oven is ready to...
The oven is ready to use.
Correct.
You haven't done the shoveling out.
Correct.
It keeps on telling us that... It keeps on throwing that word in.
Yeah, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about where a person violated the rules. Like we said, if you shovel out the oven, then it is permitted to leave the food on. We're talking about specifically where you violated the rules. How so? By leaving an uncooked pot on top of a unshoveled out stove or oven.
Thank you.
Right. So, says the Gemara Meisvei, good morning, David. We are holding about 10 lines down, Meisvei. Shokach Kideira. Al Gabe Kida. If somebody forgets a pot on top of an oven, Ubishla b'Shabbos, and it cooks on Shabbos, b'Shoygek Yoichal b'Mezid lo Yoichal. If you did it by accident, you're able to eat it. If you did it on purpose, you're not able to eat it. When was that stated? With something that was not fully cooked, with hot food that was not heated entirely, hot water that was not heated entirely, or a cooked dish that was not baked in, or cooked entirely. But if it was already fully cooked, whether it was done b'shegig or b'mezid, it is permitted to eat. B'di'evad, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, what do you need b'di'evit for? If it was cooked fully, chamin shehuch mekotzarchen is mutarin. Hot water that's left on a fire after it's finished boiling, it's bad. It's just going to evaporate. You don't want to leave it on the fire anymore. So therefore, that's mutar l'chatchila. And he says, however, a cooked dish that, like, let's say chalent, that's 6 hours in, where it's 100% cooked, and it will get to 110%, there he agrees. Usser. There he says, I agree to you that it is usser l'chatchila to put on the fire and allow it to cook, because getting to 110% is also prohibited. And anything that gets better as it's left on the fire, could go in kruv, like cabbages, upoilin, certain types of beans, ubasser, taruf, and chopped up meat, is usser. V'chol ha-mitztamek v'raloi is mutter. That's the end of the Braisa. Now, the problem with this Braisa is that it says beferish that if you left a food on the fire, if you did it on purpose, the din is that it's usser. If you did it by accident, the din is that it is mutter to eat the food. Seemingly not like the psak that this Rav gave in his shul. He said that there's no difference if it was done on purpose or if it was done by accident. There's no difference, he said. And there was a fight afterwards. Did he mean there's no difference and it's both mutter? Or did he mean that it's no difference and it's both usser? But regardless, there was a fight. Regardless, his psak was that there's no difference between shegig or mezid. So we have a brisa of a furish, not like him. The brisa states that if you left a pot of chalon cooking from Erev Shabbos, it depends on if you did it on purpose or by mistake. If you did it on purpose, that you cannot enjoy the chalon. If you did it by mistake, you could. So the Gemara is questioning, we have a Braisa not like you. The Braisa seems to differentiate between Shegig and Mezit. Now, the Gemara is about to say that indeed there was a time. This Amira, who got up in shul and he said that there's no difference, he agrees that there was a time in history that there was a difference between Shegig and Mezit. That if you left it on by mistake, we'll allow you to eat it. We'll say nunu. And if you left it on purpose, we won't allow you to eat it. However, he's under the impression that there came a time when they were like, you know what? People are lying. They're leaving it on purpose. And when we go to them, like, hey, well, what's going on over here? They're like, oh, it was a mistake. And our hands are tied. We'll say, okay, so eat the food. So people were trivializing this new gezeit. Because again, midiyoraisa, there's no real issa with leaving it on the fire. You didn't do anything wrong on Shabbos. It was a gezeirah derabanan. So people were trivializing this gezeirah derabanan. They were like, no. And they were leaving the pot of fire. They were leaving the pot of food on the fire from Erev Shabbos. And if questioned, they would say, oh, it was a mistake. So therefore, the rabanan got up and they said, it's usser even b'shegeik. So now the Gemara says, according to the man, the Omar, who says that there's no difference and even b'shoigeg is usser, we have a very good explanation for why the Braisa says there's a difference and you said there's no difference. Because the Braisa was talking about pre-Gezeira and you were talking about post-Gezeira. But according to the man, the Omar, who says that they're both mutter, how do you explain this Braisa? We have a Braisa that differentiates between usser and mutter. And the Gemara is going to leave off as a kasha. So let's see that inside. Bishlam Rav Nachman, who says that they're both usser. Loi Kasha. It is not a question how he said that they are both usher, and this Brisa said that it's only usher if you did it bemezid. Because kan koidim gzera, kan la'achar gzera. This is pre the gzera of shaking, and this is post the gzera. Ela Rabba for Rabbi Yosef. But according to Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, Da'amri lehetera, who said that both, that in Shul, when he paskin, they were both, that there's no difference, he meant that they're both mutter. Manushach, I koidim gzera. If this Brisa was before this new gzera, so then Kasha mezid. It says by mezid it's mutter. It says by mezid it's usher, and you say by mezid it's mutter. And ilach gzera kasha namashekig, and the Gemara ends off that indeed it is a kasha. What was this gzera that we're talking about? My gzerta? The Amar of Yehuda bar Shmuel, Amar of Abba, Amar of Kahana, Amar Rav, betchila hayu oimim hamavashel b'shabbos b'shegig yoichel b'mezid lo yoichel. V'hu adin l'shecheich. Originally, they used to say that if somebody cooks on Shabbos, he puts the stuff in the pot on Shabbos, if he did it by mistake, he can eat it. If he did it on purpose, he cannot eat it. V'hu adin l'shecheich. And similarly, somebody who left the food on Erev Shabbos and he violated the Issa d'Rabbanan of Shehiya has the same dinim. However, Misharabu, Mashin Bemezid, when there became an increase, an influx of people who were leaving it on the fire on purpose, and when questioned, they would say, V'amrim Shechim Anu, we did it by accident, Chazur V'kansu Al HaShechech, they made a gzeira even on those people who did it by accident, and the Gemara finishes off, indeed, so indeed, that was indeed a question, and we do not have an answer to that. Seemingly, there's a braisa against Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Now, this Brisa that was brought down states that, let's go back to the Brisa, which is about 10, 15 lines down. You can spot it by seeing it, Bamed Devarim Amurim. So, it states that B'chamin Shalehuch M'kot Sarchan and Tavsha Shalabishal Kot Sarchan is Mutter B'shoigeik. And that's if it's shloi bishel kotzarchan. If it is bishel kotzarchan, whether it's a chamen and whether it's tavshel, it is mutter. Whether you did it by mistake and whether you did it on purpose. If something is cooked fully, it is mutter. If you have a fully cooked chalant, you have a fully cooked hot water, it is permitted to go ahead and eat that food. Whether you violated the halachas and you did it on purpose or you did it by mistake, it is permitted to go ahead and eat that food. That's what Rav Meir says. The question is, questions the Gemara, that if you remember from Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, yesterday's blot, we saw a Rabbi Meir over there who states that you're never allowed to do any form of shihia on something that is, you're not allowed to go ahead and leave something on the fire. So Kasha the Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir. Because it said that you're only allowed to leave hot water on the fire, but not a cooked food. You're not allowed to leave cooked food on the fire ever, just hot water. And yet over here, Rav Meir said that if you left it on the food, you're allowed to eat it. So that's the Gemara's first kasha. It's a stira. And kasha the Rabbi Huda, the Rabbi Huda. Because Rabbi Huda earlier said that you're allowed to leave chamen and tavshel. And over here, he's saying you're not allowed to. So the Gemara says, it's not really a stira. They're talking about different halachas. Rabbi Meir on the first brayz was saying, what are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do? And he said, you're not allowed to leave it on the fire. Okay. Our brayz is talking about if you didn't listen to the rules. If you didn't listen to the rules, b'di'evad, are you allowed to eat it? It's a whole different shaila. It's takanat mutter. You want to know how bad of a fine will we give you if you didn't listen to us? It's a whole different question. So Rav Meir says, you're not allowed to. So the Rav Meir, like, the Brais on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, which said that you're not allowed to put anything on, that's taka what he paskins. You're not allowed to put anything on. Our Brais, which says that if you put it on, then b'di'evad, we're not going to knas you. That's b'di'evad. If you didn't listen. Doesn't mean, just because he gives minor fines, doesn't have nothing to do with each other. One's l'chatchila, one's b'di'evad. And Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda, Nami l'kasha. Can be grufa of a ketumah, can be shenik grufa of a ketumah. Also, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda is not a question. On Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, when he said it's mutter to put a tavshel on, that's like Jay pointed out. That's talking about specifically where you cleaned out the coals. L'chatchila, it's mutter. Our Brice, which says that Rabbi Huda asked you, that was talking about where you didn't clean out the coals. Okay. Says the Gemara, Iba'ilahu. Avar v'shoha ma'u. What happens if you went ahead and b'mezid you left it on the fire? Mi kansuhu rabbanan oiloi. The Mefarshim discussed if we just asked this. If I remember correctly, So Tosis points out, Avir v'Shah Mai, even though I did go through the Gemara, it wasn't with all the Mepharshim, so it's still going to be some, you know, farjumble from last time. So Avir v'Shah Mai, look at the first bottom Tosis. B'deloy bashel k'machal ben drusoy lek l'ukma. You cannot say that it's talking about where it wasn't in his bashel k'machal ben drusoy, because the ha'kvar pashet la'el l'isur, because we just said that it's usur. And so Tosis says that it's talking about the mibayloy b'bashel, it's talking about where it was cooked u'b'shoygik, according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's Tosis's Mahalach. If I remember correctly, Rashi argues. Rashi says that the question is a repeat of the previous question. It's talking about where you did it bemazed, and the question is it permitted to eat or not? So it's a repeat of the previous question.
They bring down in the notes here, from the Ritva.
Yeah.
Explains that we are dealing with a case in which the person intentionally left on an unbaked kira a fully cooked food that improves as it condenses, but then removed it on Shabbos before enough time elapsed for it to condense and improve.
So it was fully cooked. It was 100 cooked. It was 100% cooked.
It was uncooked.
Oh yeah.
It was uncooked. It's a type of a food that does get better when it condenses.
Okay.
But we're talking about a case where they intentionally removed it before it condensed. So it would be mutra because it's a food that gets worse with prolonged cooking, but then they removed it on Shabbos before it got worse. So when the rabbi, and continuing, the question is thus the following. When the rabbis penalized a person who left this type of food on an unbaked kira, they penalize them only if the food actually condensed and improved. Oh, it condensed and improves.
So his question is, mstamik virale.
Meaning the forbidden act of leaving the food there.
Does he say that as an explanation for Rashi, or is that his own Mahalach in the Gemara? Do they say that?
It's a separate paragraph. First they bring down Rashi and Tosos, like you mentioned. And a new paragraph.
They bring down the Ritva.
Yeah.
I hear. Okay, very good. All right, so we now have three pshatim in the Gemara. We have Rashi, who says that it's seemingly a repeat of the previous Gemara. Tosis, who takes issue with that, and he says, we already discussed that. So he says that it's referring to a different situation. Let's for now stick with Rashi, just to keep one derech in the Gemara. So it is a repeat of the previous question. If your person violated it, bemazed. My mikan sura banan alay toshema the amr of Shmuel bar Nasan amr of Chanina kishahalach Rabbi Yosi litzipari when Rabbi Yosi went to Tzipari matzah chamin shenishtahu al gabekira he found that they were leaving hot water on the fire v'loy asur lahen and he did not asur it for them beitzim mitzumakos shenishtahu al gabekira he found that they were leaving cooked eggs that was left on the stove v'asur lahen and he did asur it for them. Now, what do you mean he asked it for them? My lav lo oisah Shabbos, does that not mean he asked it for them? He says, you cannot enjoy those eggs because you violated the halacha? Says the Gemara, no, that's not what it meant. He asked it for them means he told them, in the future, don't do this. Lo, it means for Shabbos haba. He told them, not in the future, don't do it. The Gemara says, Mechlal debates him, this is a cooking question. Mechlal debates him mitzumakas, mitztamkas, viyafalahen. Ninu, are you telling me that keeping eggs on the fire as they keep going and going, it gets better and better? And the Gemara says, and yes. Damar v'chama bar chanina pamachas nis arachti aniv rebi l'makam echad. One time I and Rebbe visited a certain area, v'heviu lefanenu beitzim mitzumakas, and they brought to us cooked eggs, k'uzradin. They were so shriveled because they were cooked so long that they were like small little crab apples. V'achalnu mehen harben, we ate a lot of them. Okay. Now, continuing on in the next line of the Mishnah, the halacha is that Beis Hillel says you're allowed to do chazara. Beis Hillel amrim af machzirin. This is also a huge sugya. Amar of Sheshes. Like I said, every Gemara, once you learn a bein, it becomes a huge sugya. And so, all these every sugya is technically has the ability to be a huge sugya. Beis Hillel amrim af machzirin. Amar of Sheshes. L'divrei ha'omer machzirin. Afilu b'Shabbos. For the ones who say that you're allowed to do chazara, it's mutter even on the Shabbos day. Meaning, if you take a pot of food off on Friday night, we understand that if you took the pot of challah off Friday night, you're going to be putting it back. Because how else, we understand that you're going to want the challah the next morning. It's the chiddush is, so therefore, even in your action, the casual observer can say, oh, you're probably going to put it back. The chiddush of the Gemara says, even on Shabbos day, when the casual observer will not know that you're planning on putting it back, because if you take the chalent out of the pot on Shabbos day, who knows that you're planning on putting it back? So the casual observer will not know that you're putting it back. And the halacha is you're allowed to do chazara even then you're allowed to technically put it back. So again, we're focusing here on the isur of chazara. If somebody takes a pot of food off of the fire, the question is it's fully cooked. Are you allowed to put it back on the fire? You're not technically going to be violating bishul because the food is already fully cooked. Nevertheless, it's usur to put it back on the fire unless you fulfill the following qualities of our Gemara. The Gemara says that you don't need it to be Davka Friday night. Even Shabbos day, it is permitted.
What do we care what the casual observer will think about?
It's more inherent in the action that you're going to put it back. It's not necessarily that you need somebody there. It just shows more, the action is more telling that you're planning on putting it back. A way to describe it is to say what the casual observer would think. But you don't need actually an observer to say anything. It's just more inherent in the action that when I take it off Friday night, it's understood that it's going back. Even Shabbos day, where you don't have that, it's still going to be permitted to do chazara.
Okay.
So, the halacha is that even if you do chazara, you need it to be garaf and katam. So we're talking about over here, at the following discussion, until the Mishnah, is referring to specifically where the oven has been garav v'katam. Like I said, nowadays garav v'katam means you have a blech. One of the first weeks that we used to make chalent in the crock pot. Now for a couple of years already, we've been making it in the oven. And we just keep the oven on for the whole Shabbos. One of the first weeks we did that, I took chalent Friday night. And I took it out of the oven and I put it on top of the stove. And I'm taking out chalent and I'm like, oh man, I just took my chalent out of the oven. And I can't put it back. Even though I had in mind all the intentions and everything. But there's no garf and katum in the oven. And that there went the chalent for that week. I mean, we could have chalent Friday night. But there was no chalent for Shabbos day. Because you can't put it back in something that's not garf and katum. So the halacha is va'afar v'aishia sover af machzirin afilu b'Shabbos. You're allowed to do chazara even on Shabbos day. The amar v'aishia one time pamachas hayinu emdim le'elam Rabbi Chia. Rabba, one time we were in the attic of Rabbi Chia. Rabba ve'elanu loy kumkumas shel machamen. They brought us a kettle of hot water midyuta haf tetchatena ledyuta helyana from the bottom floor to the top floor on Shabbos day. Umazagner loy sakais and they poured it. They made us a tea ve'hechzirinuhu l'makaymai and they placed it back on the fire downstairs. Ve'loy amar lanu davar and Rabbi Chia didn't tell us anything. Amrav Zvika, Amrav Abba, Amrav Tadoy, Loishanu Ela Sha'idin Biyadai. It's only permitted to do chazara if it's still in your hand. Aval Hanichu Agabe Hanichan Agabe Karka, but if you put it on the ground, Asur, it's prohibited. This is one of the qualities that we know about chazara. You need to have it in your hand the whole time. Amrav Abi, Amrav Tadoy, Amrav Ami, Rami said, Rav Tadoy, David Lagarmehu David. Rav Tadoy, that psak was only for himself. He was machmer for himself. We don't have to be machmer like that. Even if you put it down on the ground, it's mutter. B'di'eved, we paskin like this. If a person puts it on the ground, then as long as he had intention to put it back, it's b'di'eved, we paskin like this. Even though it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch Nat, like this, we paskin that it's mutter b'di'eved. Pligi bar of Dimi v'Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda v'Tavar Mishmei d'Rabbi Elazar. Once, if it's still in your hand, it's mutter. If it's on the ground, it's usr. And like I said, b'di'avad, we go like that. Amar chizki mishmei d'abaya. How the amar oidin b'yada is mutter. This that you say that if it's in your hand, it's permitted. Is lo yamar ela shadaiti lahatsa. This is the second quality that you need. You need to have in mind that when you take it off, you're putting it back. Aval ein daiti lahatsa is usr. The Gemara says, Mechlal, Dal Gabe Karka, we can infer that if it's on the ground, Avok Bisha Daita Lahasar, even if you have in mind to put it back, it's still going to be Asar. Ik de Amri Amr Chizki Mishmei Dabaya, Ha de Amrit, Al Gabe Karka is Asar, Leomar El Shein Daita Lahasar. Avok Daita Lahasar, it's Mutter. If you have in mind to put it back, it's Mutter. And indeed, that's how we pass Kim B'Diavad, like I said. Mechlal Sheba Oidim B'Yaday, Avok Bisha Ein Daita Lahasar is Mutter. We can infer that if you did not have in mind to put it back, as long as you still have your hand on it, it's Mutter. And we pass Kim that having your hand on it means having your hand on it. Meaning you could put it down on the counter, even if you didn't have in mind to put it back, if you're still holding on to it, your wife's like, what are you doing? I'm taking chalent, as you can see. Oh, but it's for tomorrow. Oh, I didn't realize, whatever. So the ma'isa, as long as you have your hand on it, you could still put it back on the fire. Even if you didn't have intent to put it back. B'di'evet.
Here they explain that if you let go, so it looks like you're doing a new act of chazara.
Correct. That's why it's usur. If you let go, then it's like a new act of chazara.
Isn't chazara mutter if you did grufik tuba?
Chazara is only mutter with these qualities. They say it's a new act of chazara, or it's a new act of putting on the fire from the stove. It's a new act, that's the point. It's not a chazara anymore. If you leave go, it looks like it's a new act.
Oh, chazara is dafka, it was on the stove on Shabbos.
Yes.
On the stove on Shabbos.
Correct.
Chazara is not, it was in the fridge.
Correct. That's called nesina lechatchila. Nesina lechatchila, and that's usur, unless it's a hot plate.
Cool.
Okay, we saw that. What happens if you don't put it on the ground? Mind you, I don't remember ever putting my chalent pot on the ground. So what happens if you don't put it on the ground? You put it, you hang it on a stove, or you hang it on a stick, or you put it on a bed, or a more modern day example, you put it on a counter. What's the din over there? Mahu. So now, the truth is that it really depends on the lumdus. If the vart is, like you just said, Ruvain, that by putting it on the ground, by the vart and putting it on the ground is that I'm saying, like, okay, I finished with it. So then nowadays, putting it on the counter can technically be looked at it like that. And therefore, there are many pleiskim who are machmer with putting it on the counter. They say that it's like putting it on the ground. However, psak halacha is that we are not machmer. B'di'evet, I'm just telling you. That b'di'evet, if you put it on the counter, we say it is not as if you put it on the ground. And memela b'di'evet, if you let go of it, we're going to be mekel. There's a lot of b'di'evets over here. L'chatchila, you should have it in your hand the whole time.
Suspended in the air.
That would be the best. If you can, the best would be if you're holding it and somebody else scoops it out while it's off the fire. That would be the best. It's still good enough if you're holding it and it's on the counter. Because you still have your hand on it. And it's not considered as if you let go. Once you let go, we're going to have... The next best thing would be if you had in mind to put it back. My point now is that even if you didn't have in mind to put it back, it's not as if you violated everything. It's not... If you put it on the counter, it's not as if it's on the ground. So you still have that one quality of not having it on the ground. And therefore, b'di'evet, we're going to be mekel. If you put it on the ground, and you didn't have in mind, and you let go, in that case, we will not be mekel, and we will say you cannot put it back. What happens if you clear it from one pot to the next, even if you have in mind to put it back? This is very nogeya, let's say with hot water and something like that. You know, it's very nogeya. If you take hot water from an urn and you put it into the chalent and then you put it back, is that mutter or not? So the Gemara leaves off with a teku. So just from experience, we know that that's lamaisa mutter. We pass them as mutter. Okay. Good. All right, here we go. Tanor shehesikuhu bekashu begvava. Up to now, we discussed akira. Akira is a rectangular box. You can imagine a regular sized cardboard box. Enough space for two pots. And you put the coals on the inside and the pots on top. Then we have something called a tanor. A tanor is a cone-shaped device. And the fact that it's a cone shape makes it that it's much, much hotter than your average rectangular box. The fire goes on the bottom. The heat is concentrated onto one pot on the top of the cone. So it's a much, much more concentrated heat. And therefore, even if you heat it up with straw, the halacha is, Tanashi Siku Bekashiv Gova is lo yitain. You're not allowed to do this yitain. You're not allowed to do this either. Same halachas as before. You're not allowed to do either shehira or chazor, whichever one it was. Bein mitoicha, bein ma'al gabav, whether it's inside the tanur or on top of it. There is no difference between a tanner, between the method of having it heated up. No matter what, it's going to be too hot. A kubach is our third third form of oven. The Gemara is going to discuss exactly what it looks like, but I'll just tell you a bit of foreshadowing. It's a square box. It's not concentrated heat like this, but it's a square box. Therefore, it's in between a standard kira and this super hot tanner. So a kupach, it depends on how it was heated. If it was heated with straw, then it has the halacha of kira of the previous mishnah. Hareza kikirayim. If it was heated with gefas of eitzim, then it has a din of a tanner of our mishnah. Harehu katanner. Says the Gemara, tanner shehesikuhu, an oven that was heated. Sover of Yosef Lameimar, when it says toichai, that it is also to put it inside and on top, it means literally. Inside means inside, toichai is toichai mamish, and on top means on top mamish. Algabav is algabav mamish. But to place it next to it, just like we paskin by a kira, it's mutter to place something next to it, so to by a tanner, it's mutter to place something next to it. Avalismaich is mutter, shaper dami. However, Eitzvei Abaye says, I have a question to you. Let's go back to our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah that if you have a kupach, this middle ground type of oven, shehesiku bekashu v'gvava, if it was heated with straw, then it has a din of a kirayim, harayu kikirayim. If it was heated with gefas and eitzin, no, gefas of eitzin, then it has a din of a tanner, harayu kitanner, v'aser. But it's mashma that there's something that we're talking about. What do you mean that it's like a tanor and it's usser, or it's like a key, if it was heated with gefes, then as a din of a tanor and it's usser. What's its usser? It's mashma that it's something that is usser by tanor and mutter by kira. I mean, what is this? What act are you talking about that is usser by a tanner and mutter by a kira? That you're telling me that a kupach, it depends on how it was heated. A kira also is usser. It's usser also to put something on a kira. Again, there's three steps. There's the kira, which is the standard oven, which is a rectangle. There's the tanner, which is the super hot oven, the cone. And then there's this kupach, which is in the middle. It's a square. It says the Gemara, kupach is in the middle. So it depends on how it was heated. If it was heated with the mild heat, it has a din of a kira. If it was heated with the super heat, with the eitzim, with the wood stoked fire, then it has a din of a tanner. And it's going to be usser. I mean, what are we talking about? What act are you talking about over here? That is usser. And that is mutter. If you, both Mishnayos say that if something is heated up in the wood stoked fire, it's usser to put something on it. So what act are we talking about over here? Says the Bible. Eitzvah, kupach is zukah bekashas zukah haruki kram. Bekevus of eitzvah haruki tanner. The aser, therefore it's aser. Haki kira, but if it was compared to a kira, there would be mutter. Shari. B'may askinan. Ilema al gabav. If you want to say that it's talking about on top of it. Ubamai. Ilema because ain't the garav akatam. And you want to say that it's the coals were not cleared out. El akira ki ain't the grufa ukdum al gabav mishari. That's aser by akira also. El alav. The only option is the act that you're talking about is to do smicha, is to leave it next to it. The katani, and it says harayu ketanor. It's like a tanor. It's like the cone shaped one. The usser, and it is prohibited. So therefore, says Abaye, the only way to learn our Mishnah is to assume that a tanor is prohibited to do smicha. Amar Rav Adar Bar Ava hacha bekupach garav bekatum. Rav Adar Bar Ava tries to save himself. He says, no, we're talking about grufa and ketuma. The Tana Grufa Gutuma, we're talking Askinan, we're talking about where the coals were cleared out. And a Tanor, Grufa Gutuma is going to, Harehu Kitanor, and the halach is the Afagav, the Garva Katam, Agabav is Aser. The Gemara is saying a Chiddush, no, what we meant to say was that a Grufa and Ketuma does not help by a Tanor. The Ikakira, Ki Grufa Ketuma Shapidami, and that it's not like a Kira where Grufa and Ketuma helps. A Chiddush, a Blech will not help by a Tanor. However, the Gemara sides with Abaye. Tani kavasa de Abaye is a price like Abaye. Tanosh and hesiku pekashu begvava. If you have an oven that was heated up with straw, ain soim chle. You're not allowed to do smicha. The ain soim chlemer al gabav. Certainly, you can't put it on top. And the ain soim chlemer l'toich. And certainly, you can't put it inside. The ain soim chlemer begefes v'esav. And certainly, if it was heated with wood. Kupach shehesiku pekashu begvava. A kupach, this middle type of oven. It depends. If it was heated with straw, then you could do smicha soim chle. However, ain oist in al gabav. But you can't put on top of it. However, Begefa Seba eats him with regards to if it was a wood-stoked kupach, then ain soim kala, you cannot even do smicha. The Gemara just clarifies what we said already. What is a kupach? What's the case of a kupach? If it is like a kira, afilu begefas of an eitzim nami. The halacha should be even if it has gefas and eitzim. Also, it should be. If it's like a kira, even if the gefas and eitzim, also it should be mutter. Ikitanor dami afilu bekashu gvam nami. And if it's like a status of a tanner, that should be always usher. And amalei, like we said, it's in the middle. Nafish havli mid the kira has more heat than the standard kira. Vezuter havli mid the tanner, but less heat than your tanner. Hey chidami kupach, hey chidami kira. What does it look like? Amar of Yosef bar Chanina, kupach makam shapitet kedei ra'achas. A kupach has a place for only one cooking dish, so it's a square. Kira has a place for two cooking dishes. Kira is makam shapitet shtei kedeiros. So it's a rectangle. Amar Abayev, Yitem Rabbi Yirmiyah, Afanan Amitinin. We have a brisa of Mishnah like this as well, because it says that if you have a kira shenechlika loarka, if you have a kira that has been split down the middle, so now the halacha is that in order to make a keli tahar, you need to have a. In order to make a keli tahar, you need to have a. You need to ruin it. You need to ruin a keli, and if you break it and it's still usable for what it was, then if you break it and it's still usable for what it was, so then it's not going to be tahar. So the Gemara says, if you have a kupach, which is a square, and you split it down the middle, boom. So here was the place for the stove. This is an overhead view of a kupach. This is the place for an overhead view. This is where you used to put the pot. If you split it down the middle, it's not usable. And if you split it down the middle like that, it's also not usable. It's broken. However, that's a kupach. Therefore, it doesn't matter which way you split it. It's going to be tahar if you split it. A kira, on the other hand, which is a rectangle, and that has space for two... has space for two pots. So it depends on how you split it. If you split it, the arka, like this way, so then it's taka broken. But if you split it this way, then you just turned it into two kupachs. And it's not broken. So that's why it will remain tame. You split it this way. That's what the Gemara means. Okay. Says the Gemara, so that's the Gemara means, if it's nechlika l'arka is tahira, l'rachba is tamea. Kupach, if a kupach, this one over here, whether you did l'arka or l'rachba, it's still going to be tahar. Okay.
So what is the status of this Gemara tahor has to do with...
All we're doing is we're showing that the Gemara was correct in its picture of how these things looked. That one was a rectangle and one was a square. Because splitting a rectangle will just make you have two squares. That's all the Gemara is doing. The Gemara is showing you Haraya from Maseches Tahira or Kalim, wherever it is, Haraya from Maseches Kalim, that it is, that our picture that we drew was correct. And that would be the pshat in that Mishnah over there. That's why if you split a kupach, no matter how it splits, it's tahar, because it's no longer usable. But if you split a kira, it depends on how you split it. If you split it lengthwise, so then it's a problem. If you split it widthwise, then you just made two kupachs.
Okay, so the thing is basically, by this point, they aren't using kupachs anymore, so they're not entirely sure what it is.
Oh, in the Gemara, yeah. Oh, whoever asked the question wasn't sure, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, nowadays, all ovens have the din of a kira and not a tanor. Because if it had a din of a tanor, we would not allow even a blech. Blechs would not be mutter. However, they say, if I remember correctly from the halacha days, they say that baker ovens and like wood-stoked ovens and things like that, you know, the really, really hot oven, like they say the average matzah bake oven gets like 1,500 degrees or whatever it is. Those ovens have a din of a tanner and like a professional baker oven, like a pizza oven and things like that. They say you cannot do grufa and ketuma there. Even if you clean out the stuff, halacha lemaisa, blechs don't help and cleaning out the stuff don't help. That's a tanner. But our regular house stoves have a din of akira and blechs help. By the way, blechs not everybody agrees to the blech, right? That's why I said the Chazanish disagrees with the whole blech idea. He says it's not garva katam, the fire is still there. And he says by katam, you sprinkle the ash on it so it ruins the fire. Over here, the fire is totally on. It's covered by a piece of metal. It's a regular. So he doesn't like the whole blech business. But Lamaisa, like I said, besides for certain streets in Bnei Brak, I think most people in Klal Yisrael go with the blech. Okay. Ein nois the next Mishnah. Now we're discussing, up to now we discussed the dinim of Shehiya and Chazara, and we have finished with that. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the halachas of cooking with a tolda secondary fire. Cooking with secondary fire. Ein nois din beya b'tzad ha-mecham b'shvil shetizgalgal. You're not allowed to put an egg next to a hot food in order to have the egg cook a little bit. Next to an urn or something like that. Shetizgalgal means to cook it a little bit. Why? Because the way, for all those yeshiva bachim who remember, the way to check if an egg is hard-boiled or soft-boiled is to spin it. If it spins well, it is hard-boiled. If it spins wobbly, then it's soft-boiled. Why do you need to know that? Because in yeshiva, usually, they have pots that are labeled soft-boiled and hard-boiled, and they're usually never right. So therefore, you have to always personally check your eggs, and that is a trick that has been passed down from bachar to bachar since Moshe Rabbeinu. So, so that's where the word shetizgalgal comes from, to spin it. You cannot put a egg next to a hot water urn in order to cook it. Now, even though there's no fire over here, it's secondary fire. Nevertheless, it's still usr.
So,
excellent question. The Gemara is actually going to ask it, first question, and the Gemara is going to say D'Raisa. Very good question, though. It's going to be also D'Raisa. Secondary, tolda aish is aish. You're not allowed to wrap it in sudarin. Now these sudarin, these towels or some sort of cloth or whatever it is that are very hot, got heated by the sun. So it's called toldas chama. Now the halacha is, believe it or not, it's mutter lechatchila to cook by the sun. You're allowed to go ahead and take an egg on a really hot day in Phoenix and go outside. Take a frying pan, crack the egg in the frying pan, and cook it in the sun, which people do for fun. But you're allowed to do that lichatchila. It's mutter to cook by the sun. However, toldas chama is a machlokes in our Mishnah right over here. If you have towels that have been heated by the sun, and now you want to, or very nogeya, let's say taking your black hood of a car. You take a black hood of a car, you can easily get to 200 degrees on a hot day in Phoenix. That black hood. Mama, you can get degree burns on your hand. So if you go ahead and you crack that egg on the hood of the car and you start to fry an egg on the hood of a car, that's a machlekes. Toldus cham is a machlekes. I have a running machlekes with somebody. If you take a magnifying glass and you go ahead and you cook something with your magnifying glass using the concentrated rays of the sun, is that considered chama? Is that considered that it is sun, direct sun? Or is it considered secondary sun because it's passing through the lens of the magnifying glass? I hold that it's considered sun, and therefore it's permitted to do that on Shabbos. Now, we're talking about cooking. We're not talking about creating fires over here, so you're not allowed to burn leaves or ant legs, but you are allowed to go ahead. The question is, it would be mutter to concentrate, if you're a Boy Scout, and you're stuck on some island somewhere, and you somehow have your hands on a magnifying glass, which of course you do, because otherwise, how in the storybook are you going to go ahead and create a fire for people to see you? But, so you go ahead and you want to cook your chicken while you wait for the rescuers to come. It would be mutter to do that on Shabbos, because it is direct fire. However, direct sun, I mean. However, there are many people who hold, other people in the Kael, hold that no, it is secondary. Because it is passing through a lens. I don't remember what the Rosh Kail held.
So, Chama rays directly are mutter for Bishul and Shabbos?
Yes.
And that was your example of standing outside in Phoenix with a frying pan?
Yeah, that's mutter.
And in your example, the frying pan is cold? But the sun's rays is what cooks the egg.
Yeah, I mean, if eventually the sun is going to heat up the pan, if it's one act like that, then it's mutter. But if you go ahead and you use the hood of a car, so then the main thing that's heated is right now is the hood of the car. That's doing the problem. That's doing the iser. The car's hood is 200 degrees. The sun is only 100 degrees. Because it's hotter than the area around. So now you're in toldos chama.
So if the frying pan gets hot just from the... So I guess I'm trying to get a distinction here. Because if it's really hot, not the frying pan gets to 200 degrees, whatever it is.
So if the frying pan is already hot, like the hood of the car, that's considered toldos chama. And it's too hot, then it's getting hotter than the area around. Like I said, the hood of a black car is going to be much hotter than the sun. Not the sun itself, but then the area you're in that is being heated by the sun.
Air temperature.
Yeah, yeah.
The air temperature.
Right.
So if the pan is what's sort of doing the cooking...
That would be toldos chama, yeah. So the question is toldos chama asr? So Rabbanan hold it's asr, Rabbi Yossi holds it's mutter. And we paskin that it's aser, lemaisa. But again, that's only told us chama. Chama itself is mutter.
Sorry, if you were to cook it on like a stone, like, you know, they have those like pizza stones that they get really hot.
No, that's told us. That's a secondary fire. That's the araisa. That's the first line of the Mishnah.
But I'm saying if it's out in the sun and it gets super hot, so like forget metal, forget anything like that.
It depends on if it's considered toldos chama or actual chama. Okay. You're not allowed to bury it in sand or in dust on the road. And in order for it to cook, in order for it to roast. For tzliya. And the Gemara will discuss exactly why Rabbi Yossi sounds like he agrees in this case. That's also toldos chama. The Gemara will say it's a different problem over here. Ma'isa she'asu anshei Tiberia, there's a story that the people of Tiberia, they haviu silan shel tzoinin, they brought a tube of cold water, l'toich amas shel chamin, and they placed it in a line of hot water, and Chacham said to them, "In b'Shabbos, if you did that on Shabbos, if the water ran through your pipe on Shabbos, then kichamin shochma b'Shabbos." Now this hot water was chamei Tiberia, and the Gemara at this point thinks that chamei Tiberia is water that was heated by the sun. It's a natural heated water. By the way, very nogeya our sugya is microwaves. What is microwave compared to? Is microwave compared to chama, or is microwave compared to eish? Big discussion. Rav Moshe has a long tshuva on this. So, im b'Shabbos kichamin shochem b'Shabbos va'asurin v'rechitzu u'b'shisiyar, and it's prohibited for washing and for drinking. Im b'yamtev kichamin shochem b'yamtev va'asurin v'rechitzu u'mutarin b'shisiyar. So the Gemara says ibayluhu. The Gemara will discuss that more at length. So we'll wait for the Gemara. Ibayluhu questions the Gemara. Gilgal mai. What happens if you do use your hot pot of water to cook your egg? Mai. What's the din? This is Dr. Aronson's question. Amar of Yosef Gilgal chayv gadas. You chayv gadas and isn't the raisa. Omer Marbury de Ravino, Marbury says, Afanan Amitanina, we have a Mishnah like this also. Kol Shabbat Bechamin Melefnei Shabbos. Anything that came into contact with hot water before Shabbos, so it was already cooked to that degree, it is permitted to recook it to that degree on Shabbos. Shayrin Asay Bechamin Beshabbos, you're allowed to put it in to that hot water on Shabbos. Bechol Shaloyba Bechamin Melefnei Shabbos, but if it did not get to that degree of cookage before Shabbos, Medichin Asay Bechamin Beshabbos, you're allowed to wash it down with hot water on Shabbos. You don't have to be concerned that sprinkling it with hot water will cook it, except for Chutz Min Hameliach Yashen V'Kulayas Ispanin, except for things that get really, really easily cooked. For example, an old salty dish or a Spanish mackerel. Shahad Chasson Zuhi Gemar Malachtan, where washing it down with hot water is already enough to cook it. And Shema Amina, that's the end of the Brisa, but we can prove from here that merely washing down something with hot water is already considered cookage.
In this case, is the item is already cooked that you're washing down with hot water?
No, that's the Gemara's Chiddushes. That if it has not been cooked, then you're not allowed to wash it down with hot water. And from the fact that the Gemara calls it Gemar Malacha, we see that it's considered the actual Malacha of Bishul. It's considered Bishul. It's considered Mavushal.
You can wash it down.
The Gemara says, except for things that washing it down will affect its cookage.
Right. So if it's not going to interfere with washing it, it's not cooking it, then you can.
Yeah, then you may, because that's not doing anything. But the Gemara's raya is from the fact that you're not allowed to wash something down that will cook it. We see that it's called cooking. That's the chiddush. We see that it's called cooking. So we see, like you asked, is it the Oraisa de Rabbanan? The Gemara quotes a Braisa that it's called Gemar Melacha. It's the real Melacha, just washing it down. Even though there's no fire over there. Just merrily washing it down with hot water. So Shema Minah, the Gemara proves from there.